Welcome to Tech Talk, y'all.
Hello and welcome to Tech Talk, y'all, Season 11, Episode 288. I'm Sanjay Parekh.
And I'm Adam Walker. We've got a great show for you today. Packed with articles. And we got some good weird and wackies and good tech wrecks at the end. So it's just stay tuned to the end because it's going to be awesome. So with that in mind, let's
we ready? Should just get to it. There's a lot.
Let's do it. All right. I'm going to make you read the first one. Go ahead, Sanjay. Go ahead.
The thing that I'm never going to buy.
Yeah.
Apple Vision Pro is here and we're never leaving the house. 21 things it can do that'll wow you. And then also, Apple reveals Vision Pro mixed reality headset.
Yeah, that second link is a video, by the way, and it's amazing. So just so everybody knows.
I think the article title on the first one is wrong.
Mm.
I think this is what's going to happen. We are T-minus 7 days from whenever the first one ships to people from somebody having a car accident because they're playing with their goggly things on their head. And they're not going to stay in their house. They're going to be like, I can multitask. I can read my email
it's gonna be
while
great.
I'm driving.
Yeah.
No, you can't.
So I got to say like two things. Well, a couple things. Number one, the Apple Vision Pro is $3,500. So I will not be purchasing one anytime in the foreseeable future or extended future. Like I have a hard time imagining myself paying for that. With that said, though, I will say this also, that back when, you know, cell phones were really ramping up in the early 2000s, paying $1,200 for a cell phone would have seemed you got free cell phones. Like you sign a new thing, get a free cell phone, or you pay like $200 and be like, oh my gosh, I cannot believe I just paid $200 for a cell phone. That is so exorbitantly expensive. So, I mean, I can see where like we do adjust the price over time. Now we pay $1,200 for a cell phone. The next thing I'll say is, this Apple Vision Pro looks miraculous, like unbelievable. Future of computing, just insane, all the stuff it can do. That said, I mean, I still, the price is going to be a huge issue. I don't know how they're going to overcome that. I really don't.
Yeah. The thing is, people that drive like Tesla SUVs, they're going to have this and they're going to drive with this on their heads. And
I don't think that's really that valid. I mean, I think that's very rare. I mean, I think the reality is, people are going to use it. It's mixed for work and for play, just all kinds of different stuff. I will say this, though. Also, we're about to talk about the Meta Quest, right? So compared to the Meta Quest, like it's just apples and oranges. Like that's the next article.
Literally, Meta Quest 3. It's apples and oranges.
Like that's the next article. Meta Quest 3 launches later this year. Lower prices.
You made a joke and you didn't even recognize the joke.
I was going to fly right on by it. But like,
you
I mean,
just called Meta an orange.
Yeah, but what Apple is able to do versus what Meta is able to do is just, there's just not even a comparison. Like it's just not even close. But then I'm not going to buy a Meta Quest 3 either, honestly, because I don't really want a VR thing strapped to my head. So it's lower profile. It looks more comfortable. I still don't think I'm going to buy one. I mean, are you interested at all in VR?
I have this feeling that if I strap this on my head, I'm going to have headaches all the time.
I mean, I think that's a real danger for this technology.
I think, I mean, like I get headaches with those 3D glass thingies.
Yeah.
The TV that we have right now actually came with 3D glass thingies.
And you've never once used them.
I think they're still in the package. Nobody has ever used them because,
well, 3D TV came and went really fast. I think VR is way more valuable than 3D TV, but I still think there's just a really difficult user uptake. I think if Apple had come out with this device and it was $1,000, it's $1,500, I think the masses go out to buy it. I think for $3,500, there's just no way.
I think I'm concerned about two things. I'm concerned about eye strain from this thing. Like I appreciate the fact that, hey, I can have a 100-inch TV floating in front of my face and not have to actually buy a 100-inch TV and figure out where to install it.
Right.
But I worry that it's going to cause eye strain and it's going to cause headaches. These technologies are going to cause that thing. And I don't know. I feel like this is yet another one of those things where people are going to be wearing them out in real life.
Yeah.
And then you're like, are you actually paying attention to this? Or are you looking on your phone that is floating in front of your face?
I will say, at least with the Apple one, wearing it out in real life is a little bit more manageable. I mean, it's got that crazy screen on the front, on the outside, where you can see the user's eyes. As you, so it's almost like you're looking at them, which is real weird.
Yeah.
But then if you're in the Apple Vision Pro and you're in this immersive experience, and like you walk up to talk to me, you sort of phase in to that experience. So it doesn't totally freak me out, which is actually kind of really, really neat because like the Quest does not do that. Like I walk past my son all the time and, you know, just kind of punch him in the back or something when he's not looking, you know, just to mess with him. And it really freaks him out. It's fantastic. So, you know, anyway,
it's got tactile feedback now too.
It does. All right. I'll introduce this next one, if you don't mind, since we sort of blurred all those other ones together. So, Tele dual screen TV first look. It's free and maybe the future. So this is a TV. Imagine I think it's a 45 or 55 inch TV.
Yeah.
And then along the bottom, there's an additional screen added to the bottom. And imagine it's like an additional screen for like banner ads, because that's literally what it's for. So they're going to give you a free flat screen smart TV so they can run ads to you. And so you can be the product and they can measure everything that you do on it and all that other stuff. But here's my thing. Like, why wouldn't you take the free TV, hang it on your wall where the ads are just below where it's visible, like just behind a piece of furniture, like then it's just a regular TV, like, right?
So they thought this through. They actually mentioned it in the article, which you might have missed.
I read it, but I didn't see that part. Okay, good.
So a lot of the remote control stuff and things like that, they're going to be on that same screen down there.
Oh, of course it is.
So
yeah,
you could do that. Okay. It just becomes not as useful then anymore at that point.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing is they've kind of thought through some of these issues, knowing that people are going to hack these things. Both TVs, both screens run off the same processor. So if you disable it, the whole thing becomes a brick, right?
Interesting.
I think some enterprising person is probably going to figure out a way to do this, but it's probably going to be so complicated that most people are not going to do it.
Yeah.
That said, they're saying this is the future. Yeah, it's not going to be the future in my house.
Not in my house. No. But I will say, for people that are willing to be the product, it's pretty interesting. I mean, you're getting a free high definition flat screen TV that looks really nice, that's highly functional, and is pretty large. I mean, it's larger than the TV hanging on my wall. So, you know, like I mean, that's something.
I could see doing this in a car mechanic shop.
Yeah.
Waiting room or something.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they don't care.
Yeah.
They're not the ones exposed to all the ads. You guys sitting there waiting for your car. Sure. Have at it. Right. It's a free TV. Like, I could see that actually happening in some places like that.
Same. Same.
Yeah. But there you have it. What else you have is a new feature on BeReal. BeReal is adding a messaging feature called Real Chat because you clearly don't have any place else to.
Yeah, I needed another chat app in my life. I was just thinking the other day, man, I don't have enough avenues to talk
my
to people.
My phone is not slow enough. I need yet one more app.
I mean, I was just thinking I can message on Insta or on Facebook or Snapchat or TikTok or WhatsApp or I need more, like, obviously. So
you need more.
Yeah.
And it's not encrypted, by the way. So you need more that is also gonna be stealable and scannable.
I'm gonna give that a hard pass.
Have you ever installed BeReal, by the way?
I've got BeReal. Yeah, it's on my phone. It's okay. I post something probably once every month or so, because I don't do push notifications, man. I don't care. I don't want push notifications. So, like, I'm out and about, my phone vibrates, I'm ignoring that junk. I don't want to see it. And so I just miss it every time, basically. So it's
okay. You
know, anyway,
that's good enough.
All right. Amazon is in talks to offer free mobile service to US Prime members. Now, this is a little inaccurate. Free or discounted mobile service to Prime members. And they're talking to all the major carriers to get the best rates possible. It'll be interesting to me in particular to see what kind of phones they offer. Like, are these little cheapy phones? Are they nice phones? Like, can I bring an iPhone over to that platform? Does it really save me a lot of money? Like, what? So, but I loved it. I mean, I'm already a Prime member. If I can get more stuff for that Prime membership, like that. Hey,
absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. They're supposedly in talks with, T-Mobile, AT&T, Verizon, and Dish.
Yeah.
If they did this on T-Mobile,
no
brainer. Already on T-Mobile.
Mm-hmm.
Just port me over and save me some money.
Same. Yeah.
I'm wondering though, is this like a way for them to get back into, like you asked the question about what phones, is this a way for them to get back into making phones?
The Amazon phone. I had an Amazon phone. I bought
one. We had one too.
Yeah. I did. Yeah. It wasn't terrible. It wasn't amazing, but it wasn't terrible. It had like seven cameras on the back or something insane. I never understood why.
Well, on the front, it was like that orientation thing. Mm. Like they had this 3D dealio happen, right? So that's what the cameras were for. Yeah. For something like that, I think.
I don't know. It very quickly became a device that the kids played on for us. I never used it as an actual phone. So I just,
right. Yeah, it was just a device. So, same here. Yeah. Now, something useful for hopefully us folks in Georgia. We talked previously about Apple.
That I just learned about, but that's okay. We're going to talk about that. Go ahead.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Google Wallet for Android now supports digital IDs. So the thing that we talked about before with Apple Wallet supporting like your ID, your driver's license here in Georgia, this in the coming months, they're saying residents of Arizona, Colorado, and Georgia will join them in rolling it out on Google Wallet. What's the caveat though?
So I was excited, right? I got my ID in my Apple Wallet and I was like, this is the future. I'm going to leave my wallet at home. I've got everything literally I need in my phone. And I posted on Facebook about it, which is pretty rare. I don't post on Facebook much, but I was so excited. I posted on Facebook about it. And one of my friends on Facebook was like, hey, you might not want to do that. Go check the Q&A section on the Department of Driver Services website. And it clearly says on that site that even if you have the ID in your Apple Wallet, you still have to carry the physical ID. And I'm just like, why are we even doing this? Why? Like, who cares? Yeah. I don't need it in my wallet. If I have to carry this stupid plastic card, it completely defeats the purpose. I was so unhappy about that. So there you go.
Why would I do that then?
I'm hoping that's going to go away. I'm like, surely this is like phase one is you can get it on your phone and that's all fine and dandy. And it's totally useless. Phase two has to be that you're going to be able to get rid of the actual card in your wallet.
It's totally useless.
Yeah. It really, I mean, think about it. It's literally useless on your phone. If you can't leave your wallet at home, there is no point.
That's a good point. That's going to be their new tagline. Yeah. They should really hire us as marketeers.
Google it's Wallet totally for digital IDs. It's totally useless. Or more accurately, it's totally useless based on the laws of Georgia. So,
I wonder if that's true in the other states too. It probably is.
I don't know. I feel like those other states probably have it more together, but who knows?
Don't be hatering on Georgia, our home state.
All right. Speaking of having it all together, federal judge makes history in holding that border searches of cell phones require a warrant. I had no idea that border searches of cell phones did not require a warrant. Yay. Do you realize in this article, it says they searched, I think, 45,000 cell phones last year at the border.
It's not just cell phones. It's any electronic device that you bring across the border. The border is this weird no man, no laws apply zone where they get to do basically anything just because you're crossing the border. Mm. And it's been this way for a long time.
Yeah.
And conceivably, the border is actually not even just the border. Like you think about the border being like, oh, that's the outlines of the country. No.
Yeah,
that applies in like a lot of other places, like the airport here in Atlanta. Mm. That's border. There's border control there because it's international, right? Like people come in and out.
Yeah,
that's a border. So
that
all kinds of crazy stuff happens.
Okay.
And I've not been a fan of this. I feel like we've talked about this before on Tech Talk, y'all. But
yeah, for sure.
This is groundbreaking and great for this federal judge to say, like, hey, the Constitution actually does apply.
Yeah.
And you've got to imagine that. Reasonable search and seizure rules, and you've got to get warrants, and you can't just willy-nilly search everybody's stuff. Like that's not okay.
All right, next up, eating disorder helpline disables chatbot for quote harmful responses after firing human staff. So the backstory here is it's this helpline. They've had human staff for 20 years. The union staff tried to unionize. They decided to fire the human staff because they tried to unionize and replace them with a chatbot that was AI powered. The problem is the chatbot started giving advice to people that basically feeds into their eating disorder. So it was like somebody was chatting with it that had a previous eating disorder and talked about how the chatbot was talking about how, oh, yeah, you should definitely try to lose weight. That's healthy for you. You should lose 1 to 2 pounds a week. That's healthy for you. You should eat 500 calories less per day than you take in. That's healthy for you. The problem, and that is healthy for many, many, many individuals that do need to lose weight. But for someone that struggles with an eating disorder, it is exactly the opposite of healthy. It is incredibly unhealthy and unhelpful And they took that chatbot offline really, really quick. But here's the thing that kills me, okay? These chatbots are notoriously bad at this stuff. Like, they're just bad at it. And so why would any organization trust such a nuanced, such a very delicate thing to AI? It's not ready for that. It's not going to be for a while. So it baffles me that they would do that.
This is the same thing that we've talked about with so many other things, where technology gets released and then people are done with it, right?
Mm, yeah. That's
true. Got smartphones.
Yeah.
People are like, clearly I can drive and respond to emails at the same time. I'm that good.
On their Blackberries, right? Man, they were doing it too all the time. Like crazy people.
And honestly, I still see people on their phones here in Georgia, which is against the law.
All the time.
You're not allowed to hold
your phones.
Makes
me crazy.
It makes me nuts. I feel like, can I do citizen's arrest? Can I write tickets?
I feel like that at red lights. Because you know at a red light, when people sit there an extra time and you have to honk the horn because they don't see the light, it's because they're looking at their phone every time. I'm like, come on, 100%, guys.
Well, maybe not 100%. 98% of the time.
98% of the time. So
I mean, it's happened to me once recently where I was like looking at something that fell, or I was trying to grab something that fell. Like, that was the one time.
That's the one time.
We've seen it with like the self-driving thing, like all of these things. We give people technology to make things better.
Yep.
And then they're like, well, clearly it can do all of these other things, and it's disaster.
Yeah, that's because
people
are disasters. I mean, if we're really being honest, like, and I'm one of them, I'm okay with it. I'm okay. I'm a disaster. It's fine. I am people. I'm a disaster. You're a disaster. It's fine. We're all disasters.
That's true. I'm a disaster in my own way. Mm-hmm. What's not a disaster, and I love this, I'm going to do both of the next two stories because it's the same
do
app.
It.
This is an app we love. Actually, at least
it's
I
awesome.
Love. I think
it's
you
great.
Love as well.
It's great.
Artifact News app now uses AI to rewrite headline of a clickbait articles. Mm-hmm. And then the next one that was just released, and I love this one even more, keyword blocking now on Artifact. So the first one, if enough people mark a article clickbait, the AI, and I don't know if you've seen some of these article rewrites. I've seen them.
If the staff marks it as clickbait, it automatically rewrites it for everybody. Yes.
Okay.
So I think it gets flagged up to the staff. The staff marks it as clickbait, and then the app rewrites it for everybody.
So then you can mark it as clickbait, and I guess if there's enough votes, that gets to the staff level.
I think so. Something like that.
So yeah. I've seen these rewrites, and I'm like, oh, that's a weird title. And then I look at it, I'm like, oh, that's been rewritten. Sometimes, a lot of times now, I'll like click in just to see what the clickbait article was.
Nice.
Just because I want to. So maybe it doesn't actually do it.
So it's the opposite for you. The clickbait article that gets translated out becomes the clickbait for you. And then you go to the article and then you read the clickbait article.
I'm clickbaited by the unclickbaited article.
Oh, my gosh.
Article. But the other one, the keyword blocking, I'm like, oh, can I never see a George Santos article again? Like, yes, that's great. Let me keyword block that one. I don't need to see those.
Or like my dad, because my dad talks about, he uses Flipboard, and he's like literally every single article on Flipboard, all of them are about ChatGPT. But if he was using Artifact, he could just block ChatGPT as a tag.
Done.
And he doesn't have to see the ChatGPT articles anymore, which would be kind of great. So,
I mean, he listens to Tech Talk, y'all. Why doesn't he take our suggestions of using Artifact?
I've been working on him. Or another good example is, like, if you watch a show and the finale of the show happened last night and you don't want to see articles about it, you can block the show or your favorite sports team or whatever else. So I do like this. I do fear, though, that this could cause a lot of readers to get more siloed in what they read. So for example, like if you block every article from one political party, like that probably doesn't make you a better, well-rounded citizen. So there is some danger in that. Yeah, I think you have to use it cautiously.
Yeah, but I think that issue right there, I don't think Artifact is.
No, Artifact can't do anything about that. That's not their issue. No,
that's the person doing it themselves. Yeah. Like that's a user issue.
I mean, for sure.
Yeah. They're not going to be able to fix that.
Well, speaking of, I guess not user issues, but big company issues, Airbnb sues New York City over short-term rental restrictions. They're basically calling it a de facto short-term ban by New York City. Apparently, people have to register before they list their properties on short-term rentals and abide by a plethora of rules that are incredibly confusing and very complex and therefore very difficult to do. And it'll be interesting to see what happens here. I have known, like, Airbnb has to skirt, like, a lot of times they have to skirt, like, what is it? What are they called? Like, home organizations or what?
HOAs.
HOAs. Like that. Like, so, like, I checked into an Airbnb one time in Miami, and it more or less said, like, if someone asks you if you're staying in an Airbnb, tell them no. Like, I don't think it was quite that blatant. But so it makes me wonder if there's going to be like more under the table New York City Airbnbs happening in the near future, you know?
Hey, so. Did you rent this place? No.
I'm just this staying there. My-
friend
for free anyway so
well you might not have to worry about your Airbnb if it gets blown out of the sky thanks to wireless power but because it's happening in a first that's a reference back to SimCity. Caltech's space solar power demonstrator wirelessly transmit power in space.
It works.
Until the dishes get misaligned and then it gets fried.
And then everybody gets burned to death. Yeah. But other than that, it works. Yeah, I mean, so you could literally transmit power through space.
It's amazing how forward-thinking SimCity was from its day. That this was true. The disaster that they knew was coming.
I mean, that is actually a really good point. So them and the Simpsons, man, they really.
But this is a good thing, I think. You can collect power more efficiently in outer space because you don't have to deal with that pesky atmosphere.
Yeah,
and then
it's okay. We're killing the atmosphere anyway, so we'll be able to collect power way better in the near future. So it's worth
to run the fact that we're dead because there's no atmosphere.
Listen, man, that's just not one helpful. One thing at a time. I'm just trying to look on the bright side.
You're just trying to solve the power problem, not the unable to breathe problem. That's somebody else's issue.
No, we're going to kill off we're going to have all this infrastructure built. We're going to kill the atmosphere, and then it's going to like be really, really efficient for the robot overlords that overthrow us. That's what's really going to happen. So
you can live fine in a spacesuit. Like, I don't understand why everybody's complaining about
this. I don't either. Nobody needs clean air.
It's clean inside the spacesuit. Complaining about the environment all the time.
All right. Next up. Pentagon awards SpaceX with Ukraine contract for Starlink satellite internet. I mean, obviously, SpaceX has been doing satellite internet in Ukraine ever since the war. I think 4 days after the war started, they started shipping out stuff. But I guess they're no longer footing the bill for it. The Pentagon is, which is probably good that, you know, a private company is not footing the bill for it permanently. So I guess this is cool, you know?
I mean, he did it to he who shall not be named.
He did it as a stunt.
As a stunt to get himself press, and now he's like, now somebody's got to pay me. Like, don't even go in and do it then. If you're not willing, like, you got money.
Well, that's true. But then just saying you got money, is it? I mean, we can't compel him to spend it on that. I mean,
we can, but then don't go in there to get the press to be able to be like, hey, I'm the good guy, but now somebody needs to foot the bill.
Yeah.
Like, be the good guy then.
Just go be the good guy.
That's what I say, yeah. Mm-hmm. Who's not being the good guy, though? The SEC says Binance misused customer funds, ran illegal crypto exchange in the U.S. We actually haven't tagged this, but there was another article about Coinbase.
I know. I was going to say the same thing. Yeah. Yes, they're suing Coinbase now, too. Oh, man. It's all going down. It's all going down.
Do you still have coins over on Coinbase?
I still got stuff in Coinbase. Yeah, it makes me wonder if I should just liquidate everything and be out of there. Like, just be done.
Cash. You know?
I mean, I was on a different crypto exchange years and years and years ago, and I bought like some obscure crypto, and I got an email the other day about getting my money out, and then I went to get my money out, and I was like, oh, they're in bankruptcy. I'm never getting my money out. Awesome. That's
was the crypto actually worth anything, or was it?
I don't actually know. I didn't even look. Like, I could have looked it up. I didn't bother to look it up and see if it was worth anything. Now, I mean, I didn't invest that much money. It was a couple $100s, so it's like not much at all.
What if it became $1 million?
That would have been awesome. If it's still worth $1 million, I want that crypto back. That's all I'm trying to say.
But what if you can't get it, and now it's worth $1 million?
Then on paper, I'm a millionaire, and I'm okay with that because. On paper, that's
the problem
that's
with on paper.
That's
is
what you, I need. Yeah, that's what I need.
You can't spend that anywhere. That's a good point.
I will say, like, I really do feel like this stuff's just crashing and burning left and right, just crashing and burning all around. Like, not just, I mean, like, the markets are down for all of it anyway, but the government going after all these guys. I mean, we haven't even said the word NFT in forever. Like, it's wild to me.
We should have a counter of how many days. How many episodes has it been since we've
you can count it during our next break. So anyway, moving on. Last one before we get to weird and wacky. Don't store cash in Venmo and PayPal. U.S. regulator warns, basically saying, hey, look, Venmo and PayPal aren't protected the same way banks are protected by the FDIC. You don't want to store cash there because you could lose it. It's not protected in the same way because apparently people are storing massive amounts of cash there. I think the reason that they're saying this is because there's massive amounts of cash there and they are not sure they have access to it for taxation purposes and for documentation purposes. That's really what I think is going on.
I don't know that that's true.
Is that not true?
Okay. I think they do have to report that.
Oh, I guess they do.
Because PayPal, okay. I think if you get cashed out of more than $600, they have to send you tax forms. So they have to report all that stuff.
Okay. Okay.
I think they're actually saying like, hey, if these companies, if you have a lot of cash there and these companies go away, you're not insured.
You're gone. Like,
that money is bye-bye.
Yeah.
So maybe you should not have your entire nest egg. Like a lot of people are, like you said, doing their direct deposits of their paychecks and stuff. Now,
yeah, I saw that. Like, how do you do a direct deposit into PayPal? I didn't even know that was possible.
I don't
That's
really
wild.
Know.
Like, yeah. I can't imagine ever doing that. That seems insane to me.
But I mean, people do get paychecks paid in like debit cards and things like that. So if you've got it linked, I guess, into your Venmo or your PayPal,
yeah.
You can then just transfer all that money there and use it. And for a lot of people, if you're living, you know, paycheck to paycheck, you're spending all that money. I guess conceivably you don't have a huge balance in any of these places. You've got one paycheck's worth. Most
still,
so I guess it's not that
much.
You gotta
get that cash out. I'm just saying,
right?
Just in case, get that cash out.
Yeah. By the way, last time we did NFTs was episode 276. I just looked that up.
Ooh. Time for the weird and wacky segment.
Abominable snowman.
Oh, he's not an expert.
One of the TAs turned out to be a bot.
All right, Sanjay, it's weird and wacky time. What do we got?
So first up, we're going to talk about he who shall be ridiculed. Mark Zuckerberg wins gold and silver in his first jiu-jitsu tournament.
Listen, man, I got to say,
won it by buying them, right?
Isn't dude, that the thing? I got to say, them? Man, like, I know. I mean, he learned jiu-jitsu. That's tough. Like learning, like.
Did we talk about another competition where he like basically paid off and he won the competition?
Oh, I don't remember that. No, I don't remember ever having heard that. If that's true, maybe you should look that up. But all that to say is I've done jiu-jitsu. I've trained in it. I spent a lot of time with a buddy doing that. It is an incredibly difficult sport to learn and to master. And to like to win a tournament at your particular level is incredibly hard to do. And I'll say this too. I'm not a huge Mark Zuckerberg fan at all. I really don't like Facebook at all. But I will say that the way that he challenges himself to learn new and difficult things and to take on new and difficult challenges, you know, he learned Mandarin one year and he gave a 20-minute talk in Mandarin. There was another year, I think we talked about it, where any meat that he ate for that year, he had to kill it with his own hands just to understand the source of his own food. So he does some really interesting things, and I do really admire that about him. It's really fascinating.
So I just pulled it up. Yeah, there's a lot of controversy on this match. Apparently, video shows moment. This is the title of another article we'll put in the show notes. Video shows moment. Mark Zuckerberg lost controversial jiu-jitsu match that sent Meta in a PR spin. It sounds like he got choked out and he lost consciousness. And I don't know that he actually won. He complained to the judge. And maybe that's how he won his medals.
Oh, well, so maybe so. Maybe so.
He might be just crying about
it. I'd imagine if you're Mark Zuckerberg, like, I would not want to go in a match against. I feel like there's a lot of people that would want to hurt you, you know, like just really like, like really hurt you. And it just feels like a bad idea. So
just extra yeah. Like, oh. Who do I get to go up against?
Yeah, let's do that. Thing. Yeah. All right. Well, next up, we are deeply skeptical, but a government whistleblower claims the U.S. has recovered, quote, non-human spacecraft. So there is an actual, I believe, Army veteran, if I'm not mistaken, that's out there essentially claiming that an alien spacecraft crashed and there were like alien pilots in it and all the things. But to me, what was funny is the article we read that starts with the we're deeply skeptical. That's actually in the article title. Like it kind of pointed out, it's like, you know, here's the thing, right? Let's imagine for a second that there is an alien civilization. Why would they ever send a manned spaceship to another planet that's going to take that long? Obviously, it would be autonomous or remote driven. And then next,
unless their propulsion system is such that it doesn't take that long, that long for us.
That's true. Yeah. Well,
they've got to be better than us.
They're still assuming the speed of light is intact, though. I mean, so speed of light, you'd have to assume they're hundreds of light years away, right? But would we?
Yeah,
presume.
But with theory of relativity, the person that's in the vehicle,
that's a fair point, could experience very little. That's true. Okay.
Yeah, the time is going to dilate for them, right?
So that's true. So the other thing I pointed out is like, okay, so then also let's assume that there's alien technology out there that is incredibly superior to us and can make it across this vast void of space, and they crash on Earth. Like, really? They're not good enough to get through the atmosphere? They didn't think about that? Like, I mean, it makes a lot of really good points. Like, really? Come on, guys. Like,
that is a good point there. Yeah, like, yeah, we got the flying part down. It's just the landing the part landing that we're part. Having a tough
it's the landing part we're not good at.
Stick in the landing part. I don't know. We're just not getting it. I think we need to get back to the drawing board. Man, like, we spent all this time on the propulsion thing. We just didn't get the wheels right, and we need to figure out the wheels, because that's hard.
I love it.
Yeah. And then last up, because you have nothing better to do, if you've ever wondered about QR codes and what they actually mean, there's a website that you can go to, decoding small QR codes by hand. Yes, that's right. You don't need your camera on your phone to decode a QR code. You can do it by hand.
Wow. That sounds tedious and awful. So are you gonna do this?
No, I'm never gonna do that. I kind of half read it and I was like, that's interesting.
That sounds next. Terrible. Yeah. Next. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's
tech wreck, time to get your tech wreck.
Tech wreck. Chicky.
Tech wreck. Time to get your tech wreck.
All right, Sanjay, it's tech wreck time. What do you have for us this week?
So I have got a writing app which is dubbed the most dangerous writing app.
Okay.
And so you go in there and you set it up. You can generate a prompt or not a prompt. And if you stop writing before the time is up, all of your writing disappears.
Yeah.
So the idea is to make you focus on just writing and keep writing.
Right.
And if you start using this and you stop for a little bit, before the timer actually hits, the words start fading out to make you realize like, oh, you better get in gear because it's all going to go away. So if any of our listeners need motivation, they need to write something and they need motivation to stay focused on it, the most dangerous writing app might help
you out. Or if they need motivation to just press a key over and over and over again intermittently so it thinks that you're writing while you're not writing, then
I mean that too, but that's going to prevent you from like going and checking Instagram or something.
Yeah,
right?
That is
you
true.
You got to keep focused on the keyboard.
Listen, I'm pretty sure I could keep pushing that key and still scroll Instagram by there. I'm just saying. I'm pretty sure
you're the guy that was playing on his phone while driving.
I'm the guy that breaks things. Like I'm like I'm the guy that's like, hey, look, we have this new shiny thing. And I'm like, I can break that. I'm pretty sure I can break that right now.
I thought that was me. Like I play with apps all the time, and then I talk to founders, and they're like, well, why would you do that? And I was like, I don't know. I just did that, and it broke. I don't know. I can
literally hear a founder on the other end with you exasperate, like, why would you ever do that?
That has literally been said to me so many times.
You're like, have you
met
me?
Why would you do that? I don't know. I just did it. I just thought and I just did it. And then this is what it did. And it broke. Why would you go to that screen and then back to the original screen and then back to the screen? I don't know. I just did it. And it broke.
I don't know. I just did it. Like, that's your new tagline. I don't know. I just did it.
I don't know. I just did it.
I don't know. I just did it. Oh my
With that, Adam, what do you have for us this week?
All right. So I'm going to recommend a little app called Input Recorder. And so the other day I was using an app and it was one of the situations. It's one of those apps where I can only highlight 25 and then do an action and then highlight another 25. And because I'm not using a quote premium account and that's their way of limiting me. And it pissed me off. And so I was like, that's fine.
So instead of paying for the premium account, what did you do?
This was my solution. I got Input Recorder. So I press record, I do the clicks, and then I stop the recording. And then all I have to do from that point forward is just press play over and over and over again. And it just auto does all the clicks for me. And I'm just sitting there watching a TV show, pressing, just clicking the button, and it's just auto doing it all for me over and over and over again. And I got all the records that I needed. Thank you very much. And wait, hats off to me? I don't. Anyway, so that's
I have a question. If it would please the court, did you pay for Input Recorder?
I paid $5 for it, which is way less money than I would have paid for this other premium thing. That's a monthly thing, so way less money. Totally worth it. So
anyway. you arbitrage the price of that that service.
Oh, 100%, man. 100%. I was so annoyed. I was like, that's fine. I'm not going to sit here and concentrate on this all day, but I will build that list. And I did, and it was awesome. And I watched a movie while I was doing it. I think it was Top Gun, if I'm not mistaken. It was great.
Dunna, dunna.
It was the best.
Danger zone. All right. In the danger zone is what happened.
All right, Sanjay, how can our listeners find and connect with you?
They can find me at sanjaypark.com or somewhere on LinkedIn. I don't know. Search around. You might find me.
Yeah. Maybe
not. What about you, Adam?
AdamJWalker.com. And also, we haven't said this in a while, so listen, rate the podcast. If you like the podcast, if you're listening to the podcast, if you're still listening right now, rate the podcast. Give us 5 stars. We'd really appreciate
it.
And not only that, share it on social media with a friend. Like tag just somebody that likes technology. Like, hey,
it's not Twitter.
Check this out.
So, not Twitter. Any of the other socials. That's not Twitter.
Fair.